last time we were talking about the two limitations to the Isser Bishalakim. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph has two versions of the Kula, but we said that the Rishonim, the Shulchan Aruch, paskin like both of the versions, that either if something is Nechel Kmo Shulchai, if it can be eaten Ruah without the Bishalakim, so then there's no Isser Bishalakim. You don't treat the Bishal as being significant because it could be eaten even without being cooked by the Goy. The second limitation is that something that's not Ola al Shulchan Malachim, if it's not eaten at a king's table, which we interpreted to mean like a state dinner, a chashuv meal, doesn't have to be a king necessarily, but some kind of a chashuv meal, a chasana, a shabbosud, or something like that, so then it's not subject to the rule of Bishalakim, because it's not viewed as a davar chashuv. Not viewed as a davar chashuv, as the Rambam says, a person would not be mezamen chaver al zeh. You wouldn't invite a friend on such a meal. It's just like a snack. It's not considered even if it is a meal, but it's not considered a meal that's a suda chashuva. So therefore, the issue of bishalakim would not apply to them. So within this category of ein ola al shulchan malachim, we discussed a number of different issues. First of all, the basic question as to whether Ola al Shulchan Malachim means that the melech, that the sar, that the officer, the dignitary would eat the item at all, or they would serve it at a state dinner, right? There are many things that they would eat for breakfast, they wouldn't necessarily serve it at a chashuv dinner. So we said most poskim assume that no, it has to be served at a chashuv gathering, a chashuv dinner. And we talked about whether it has to be melafes boas sapas, because that's another ingredient, another element mentioned by the Gemara. That's a big machlokas harishonim, and we actually had three different shitas in that according to the Rashba, even if it's eaten b'taras machal, it's not malafis b'asapas, it still could be called olal shulchan malachim. And we had the Ritva that it absolutely has to be malafis b'asapas. And we had this middle sheet of the Rambam that it doesn't have to be malafis b'asapas necessarily, but it has to be eaten as part of a suda chashuva of pas, even if it's not eaten together with the pas itself. We said the mashal for that is desserts, that the Rambam held parperes is also subject to the rule of bishalakim, and the mefarshim explained that means eating something lekinuach hasuuda, right, to wash down the meal. It's not being eaten with bread, but yet according to the Rambam, that's also called olal shulchan malachim. It's also called parperes, right? So how could that be subject to the rule of Bishalakim? So we said, according to the Rambam, it's not necessary to be malafis b'asa pas mamish. As long as it's eaten as part of a seud of pas, that gives it a sense of chashivas, and then it's called ola al shulchan malachim, and it'll be subject to the rule of Bishalakim. Okay. So the final issue that we want to talk about in terms of what is ola al shulchan malachim, what is not, is the shaila that we keep on mentioning, but we haven't discussed at great length. And that is, do we judge the Meichel in terms of its min, or do we look at the Meichel in the Tzura, in the form that it's been prepared, in terms of determining whether it's Ola al Shulchan Malachim or not? Right? Is it a function of the min ha-Meichel that this type of food, whatever it is, carrots or potatoes or meat or fish or whatever, this food is Ola al Shulchan Malachim, or no, this food in the Tzura that it's in now, the way that it's prepared now, this very food would come on Shulchan Malachim. So the Chelkas Ben Yamin in Sukkot Meches points out that it's clear that we're not so precise in this definition, right? It's not like we say this precise food has to come on Shulchan Malachim, because if that's the case, then nothing we eat is going to be on Shulchan Malachim. They always make it fancier. Anything we eat, fish and chicken and meat, and they never eat it quite the way we do. So that's not necessary. Right? It's still called Ola al Shulchan Malachim as long as this food item, if it would be mesukan a little bit more, right, fixed up a little bit more, made a little bit fancier, it could be Ola al Shulchan Malachim. He says, Eina kavana shetam shel zeh mamish kamo shu Ola atal Shulchan HaYisrael HaYeroi lalos gam al Shulchan Malachim. Dimken kemat lo nishar iser bishul akum. Malachim just don't eat what we eat. You know, even on nice chicken, they don't eat our chicken. They eat fancier chicken. Right? They eat fancier fish, and fancier chicken, and fancier meat, and fancier vegetables. So it's not going to be Ola al Shulchan Malachim. So that clearly is not the definition. The Hechshem Mios Lalas Hashulchan Malachim Ukegon Aydei Hosov Hasmelach V'Tavlin V'Chadome. You add a little bit more. You make a little bit fancier. So then it's Olah Hashulchan Malachim. That's enough to be called Olah Hashulchan Malachim. So I think there's a very important point. Some of the Talmidim asked after the Shir, we had a discussion a couple of days ago. Let's say a non-Jew cooks a Duncan Hines cake for you. Let's say you're in some kind of a business arrangement with someone, you know, law firm, an accounting firm, whatever, and a partner in the firm invites everyone to his home for a get together, and you don't realize there's a problem with Shalakim. So you come to watch what he's doing. You know, you want to make sure that everything is kosher. Right, you're the mashgiach. So he has all, you know, tin pans and everything. He's not using any of his pots, right? And he pulls out a Duncan Hines mix, and he makes Duncan Hines cake for you. A Duncan Hines cake for you, totally kosher. He said, "Look, I got the Duncan Hines. It's kosher. Everything's kosher. All the ingredients are kosher. Everything is fine." Right. So the question, and then someone else comes in, another junior associate in the firm comes in and says, "Hey, just one second. Who made this cake?" You know, he says, "Why don't you have this cake?" You know. The first person is there. He doesn't know the rules of Bishlakim. But then one of the Talmidim who came to the Jews Man Shiurim, he's also invited to this get-together. And he says, "Hey, Gewalt, you know, the non-Jew made the cake. What's going on over here?" So you start thinking, well, but come on. This is a Duncan Hines cake. It's not Olah Hashulchan Malachim. So we didn't quite know what the answer was. So some said, I think we all sort of figured, like, it's not Olah Hashulchan Malachim, so it should be Mutter. According to the Chagas Ben Yom, I'm not so sure that's true. Because, I mean, what's the difference between the Duncan Hines cake and the sponge part of the fancy cake that they do bring up on the Shulchan Aruch? Right? They have sponge cake. It's just they put all the fancier, you know, icings and whatnot. So is the Duncan Hines cake really so different? You just can make it a little bit fancier, and then it will be all Shulchan Aruch. So I'm not sure what the psak is in that case. You know, if there's no other room for kula, you know, if the Yisrael was not Madlik Esoesh, etc., all the other things that we discussed. Just because it's not Olah Hashulchan Malachim, technically, it doesn't necessarily mean, right, it doesn't come on the Shulchan Malachim, it doesn't mean that it's Eino Olah Hashulchan Malachim, because with a little bit more preparation, a little bit, icing and fancier things, maybe it would be Olah Hashulchan Malachim. So I'm not sure what the answer is to that. Yes?
Why is Duncan Hines cake subject to Bishol and not Pasachim? They're just bacon.
No, so that relates. Okay, that relates to the shach, right? That the shach says that if it's a blila raka, then it's not subject to pasachim. So you think, since we argue with the shach, we assume that there really would be pasachim. It's not bishalakim. Okay, it's pasachim. It's not bishalakim. Okay, I hear you. So let's say the guy bakes the cake for you, and he says, "You know what? Why don't you take it home and you'll eat it for Shabbos? You'll have the leftovers for Shabbos, right?" Think of a scenario where it might be relevant. Okay, but the problem is that Olah Hashulchan Malachim doesn't play a role there. It only plays a role in Bishalakim, not in Pasachim. Okay, I hear you. It's a good hour. But it's still a good example to make this point. The case of the Duncan Hines cake is probably more of a Pasachim Shaila as opposed to a Bishalakim Shaila. Good point there. Okay, so that's the first Nakuda of the Chalukas Ben Yamin. That Olah Hashulchan Malachim is not a function of this food literally in its current state. If it could be fixed up and then it'd be Olah Hashulchan Malachim, then that is called Olah Hashulchan Malachim. It might be subject to the rules of Bishalakim. But the Chagas Ben Yamin adds, let's say Mitchila, the Tavshil, is made in such a way that it's not Shaykh. It could never be fixed up. It's not Olah Hashulchan Malachim Bechlal. But it's made from a min. It's made from something that could be Olah Hashulchan Malachim. So is that called Olah Hashulchan Malachim or not? So in the Tziyun in there, in Sefkotan Mem Hei, he brings different rayas that it's a function of the Tzuras HaHachanu. The way that it's prepared has to be Olah Hashulchan Malachim in this form. He says, Lamashal, if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, in Sift HaZayin, he says that Afunim are peas, right? So cooked peas, he says, are subject to Bishalakim. But roasted peas, Afunim Kluyim, they're not Olah Hashulchan Malachim, they're not subject to Bishalakim. So the Chagas Ben Yamin says, what's the Aruch HaShulchan talking about? Peas are peas. Like, well, what does it matter? If it's all a function of the min, So if afunim uvushalim would be ala shulchan malachim, so then afunim are ala shulchan malachim. So even if they're roasted, they still should be subject to the rule of bishalachim. And he says similarly, the Ramban in Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Ches is mechalik between dogim maluchim and dogim shein maluchim, salted fish and unsalted fish. One type is ala shulchan malachim, the other is not. So the Ramban says, what's Olah Shulchan Malachim is subject to Bishlachim, what's in Olah Shulchan Malachim is not subject to Bishlachim. But it's all the same min. So if it's all the same min, why should you distinguish? So you see that it's a function of the Tsuras HaHachana, the way that it's prepared, that this type of fish is not Olah Shulchan Malachim, and there's no way to fix it up and make it Olah Shulchan Malachim. That's it. It's not. So if it's not Olah Shulchan Malachim in the Tsuras HaHachana that you have here right now, so then it's not subject to the rule of Bishalachim. That's called Eina Ola Shulchan Malachim, even if the min is Ola Shulchan Malachim. And of course, as Rabbi Ganak points out in his article, there should be a function of Komokom Uvachol Zman. Obviously, these things change over time. Every time and place is different, but it would seem as though the definition of what is Ola Shulchan Malachim is a function of the Tzuras HaAchana, the way that the Adam is prepared. It's not just a function of the min. I was talking to Daniel Levy after Shia yesterday, so he mentioned that if this is true, what should come out is that, peddling back to the discussion of sushi, we said that the tuna and the salmon that's used in sushi is a certain higher grade, it's fresher, a sushi-grade fish, as they call it. So if you were to buy fish from a fish market, but it's not sushi-grade fish, so then maybe, right, if it's not sushi-grade fish, so maybe that's really a different item, right? The min is the min of fish, right? But to determine whether something is nechel kamo shulchai, do we call it nechel kamo shulchai or not nechel kamo shulchai? L'chor, it's a function of the item that you see in front of you. In fact, Rabbi Willig, in his article in the Masoret Journal, in Oz Gimel, he points out that it makes a lot of sense that the tnai of eino olah shulchan malachim is a function of the tzuras ha'achana, the way that the item presents, the way that you've prepared the item, because we know the Gemara puts the factor of Eino Olah Shulchan Malachim together with Nechel Kamo Shulchai. And Nechel Kamo Shulchai, we find in the Poskim Beferish that it's a function of the Tzuras Hadavar in the way that you find it now. That's mentioned in the Chagas Binyamin too. Chagas Binyamin in Sifkat and Vav quotes from the Aruch HaShulchan in Sif Lamed Vav, that a vegetable that's eaten kamo shulchai, but then it dries up, and now it's not nechel chai anymore. Right? Maybe dried vegetables won't be eaten raw. You'll have to cook them. But fresh vegetables maybe would be eaten raw. Or Hashoga wants to say that if it's dried up and it's no longer eaten raw, then that is subject to the rule of Bishalakim. Those vegetables that are dried up would be subject to the rule of Bishalakim. So taking Daniel Levy's case, and if you have a fish that, when it's in the freshest form, when it's sushi-grade fish, so then it's nechel kamo shulchai. But if it's no longer sushi-grade fish, if it's not so fresh, it's no longer nechel kamo shulchai, according to the comment of the Aruch HaShulchan, by the sheet of the Aruch HaShulchan, what should emerge is that there would be subject to bishalakam. Aye, but fish can be eaten raw. No, we don't care that fish can be eaten raw. We look at the fish in the form that it presents itself now, and if it's not completely fresh, it's not so fresh, super fresh, so then it's not nechel kamo shulchai, then it would be subject to the rule of bishalakim. So you have to be careful. You know, if someone, we said maybe tuna and salmon are not subject to bishalakim b'chlak because it's nechel kamo shulchai. Not so clear. Maybe the fish that we get is not super fresh. So if you buy fish in the fish market, your local fish market, that probably is not sushi-grade fish. So then if a non-Jew were to cook that fish, and there's no other room for kula, then that might be a problem. You can't say that that's nechel kamo shulchai, because that's like yerek shenis yabesh. And yerek shenis yabesh is not nechel kamo shulchai, and it is subject to the rule of bishalak. So from that sheet of the Aruch HaShulchan, you get the impression that nechel kamo shulchai is a function of the tzura that you find the item in now. So presumably, Rabbi Willig wanted to suggest, the rule of Eino Olah Shulchan Malachim is also a function of the tzuras ha'achana. It's not a function of the min. It's a function of the item as it presents itself now with the preparation that you've done to the item. So aside from all of these interesting cases that maybe are not so lemaisa for us, except for the sushi issue, right, you know, cooked peas or parched peas or, you know, roasted peas. I don't know how many of us are eating roasted peas. you know, or the salt fish, non-salt fish. I'm not sure exactly how to be magdir. But the nafkamina that the poskim talk about is potato chips, because there's a whole discussion. And we should back up a second. You know, I think potatoes are olah shulchan malachim bizman hazeh for sure. At the time, some earlier posts about 100 years ago, they talked about potatoes. Aruch HaShulchan and Sif Yudches has a whole discussion about potatoes in general. Are they olah shulchan malachim? The big machlokas, the Aruch HaShulchan and the Chachmas Adam. Aruch HaShulchan says, Tapuche Adam HaShakorin Kartoflis. Tuffle or bulbous. Nirolani is that in Zemikri ain't all the Mashokam Alachim. The Bisham Akam also Makam Mai Babar, Rofa, some Mutli Sola Ochon. Our Hashulan says he thinks that potatoes are not all Mashokam Alachim. Why? He says, Diodua she achila pshuta. Diodua she achila pshuta. The Rak Dalas Ha'om Ochlem Osola Marbe Mibne Aniusum Vidochkam. Says, come on, this is like the simplest food. Everyone eats bulbous, right? They all eat kartoffel. They all eat potatoes, tapuchei adama. Right? They all eat potatoes. Because people are so poor, so they can't afford anything more. He says, okay, so wealthy people eat that too. It's because they're so plentiful that even wealthy people eat them a little bit too. But not because they're Michael Choshev, it's just, you know, because it's there. It's there's so much there, so they eat that a little bit too. He says, it's not Ola Shulchan Malachim. He says, you know, Derech Hasarim Liknosum Lasumim Beizem Achol B'Tavlin. Okay, they put a little potato on the table. But it's not a Choshev thing. It's like a Tavlin. It's like a spice. The potato, he says, is like their pepper. It's like their salt. You know, they have the fancy dishes. They put a little potato, you know, to garnish. He says, but that's not in a Michael Choshev. He says, that's not Olah Shulchan Malachim. Doesn't make any sense. Avchal Hashana lo yochlum l'shem Michael. Ach matzasi l'gad lecha shakasu shnapuchi adam ha'olam ha'shulchan malachim. He quotes the Chachmas Adam says that potatoes are Olah Shulchan Malachim. Yeah. So he doesn't like it. Aruch HaShulchan rejects the Chachmas Adam. He says, "Ata b'mdina senesh zarem osalamab v'maychol rov ahamun v'maychol pasha mo v'yish harach v'ha'ono yomel azrei hola." He's quoting from all of the Chamish Chumash Torah, but he's making different references. Anyway, not for now. But he says, you know, anyone who's not a poor person will say, "Ah, get rid of that stuff." I don't know. He says it's not Olah Shulchan Malachim. I once saw Rabbi Nachum Sauer. Someone pointed out Rabbi Nachum Sauer from Los Angeles. He wanted to say that Machlokas Aruch HaShulchan and the Chachmas Adam is how to understand this klal of Eina Olah Shulchan Malachim. Aruch HaShulchan is understanding that Eina Olah Shulchan Malachim is just a simen for the Chashivas HaMeichel. Is it a Meichel Choshev? Is it not a Meichel Choshev? He says if they eat the Meichel, they eat the potatoes because it's so plentiful, not because it's a Choshev a Meichel. That's not Olah Shulchan Malachim. Even if technically it is Olah Shulchan Malachim, but they're not eating it because it's a Michael Choshev, they're eating it as a garnish. They don't really consider it significant. So they don't consider it significant. It's not a Michael Choshev. So even if technically it's Olah Shulchan Malachim, it's not called Olah Shulchan Malachim because it's not Olah L'shem Michael Choshev. And the Chachmas Adam apparently assumes no, that Eino Olah Shulchan Malachim is a Ta'am to Pater. If it doesn't go on Shulchan Malachim, then Bishalachim is not, it's not subject to Bishalachim. But if it's Olah Shulchan Malachim, if physically it comes on Shulchan Malachim, they do eat it, so then there's no p'tur. If there's no p'tur, then it's subject to the rule of Bishalachim. It's b'char, machlokas, Aruch HaShulchan, and Chachmas Adam. But this is a machlokas, you know, 100 years ago, or more. Right, it's not a machlokas b'sman hazeh. B'sman hazeh, potatoes are Olah Shulchan Malachim. They're not such a cheap food, no cheaper than any other thing. It's not like only poor people, only people who have difficulty, you know, making ends meet, they're the only people who are eating potatoes. No, people eat potatoes at a state dinner also. Ah, fancy potatoes, okay, but potatoes nonetheless. They certainly do eat potatoes. So the question is, what's the status of potato chips? Potato chips are made out of potatoes. So should the rule of Bishalachim apply to potato chips or not? That's dependent on this question. If you say that Eino Olah Shulchan Malachim is a function of the min. So since potatoes are olah shulchan malachim, then they should be subject to bishul akav. But if ain't olah shulchan malachim, is a function of the tzuras ha'achana, it's safe to say that potato chips probably are not olah shulchan malachim. I mean, maybe a dignitary, you know, a king or queen or a senator might eat potato chips as a snack in the afternoon, but they're not serving it at a state dinner. We talked about that potato chip that they put in the mashed potatoes, you know, for fanciness. That's not for food. You know, it's for garnish. So you happen to eat it because it's edible. You know, if they put a piece of paper in there, you wouldn't eat the paper. Then it's hard to call that food. Right? That's like, you know, the potatoes of the Aruch HaShulchan. Right? That he said they're putting it on for garnish. It's like the potato chips, mamish. Yeah. I think even the Chof Masadim would agree to that. And it's not really, it's being put there as a, you know, they have the potato chip with like a little stick coming out of it, right? Like that fence, like a little leaves or something coming out. It's not, the potato chip is not meant as food. It's meant as a garnish, but you know, people tend to eat it because, you know, it's edible. It's what it is. Sometimes it's even soggy, you know, if you have the potato chip. It's, you know, it's not really meant to be food. It's hard to say that it's olah shel malachim because of that one potato chip they put in the mashed potatoes. That's a big kula, right? That the rule of bishul akav wouldn't apply to potato chips because b'tzuras ha'achana of potato chips, it's not olah shel malachim. Okay. So now that we've concluded the sugya v'ena olah shel malachim and nechak moshu chai, so now we have to talk about a very famous shaila that relates to both of these issues. And that is there a rule of bishul akum? Is there a halacha, an isra, a bishul akum with coffee? And this relates to both of these points. Very common shaila. Come into a mom and pop shop, come into a bodega, or you know, any kosher store over here, a pizza store, or grandma's, whatever, right? And there's a non-Jew behind the counter. Everything that's made in the store is kosher. Question. It's kosher. It's Bishul Yisrael, Pas Yisrael, let's say. Everything is fine. Yeah, but you want to order whatever. You want to order a muffin with a coffee. And who's going to make that coffee for you? The non-Jew is going to make the coffee for you. So, is that a problem? He's making the coffee for you. He's cooking the water. Right? He's cooking the coffee, I should say. Right? He's cooking the coffee. So, would that be a problem with Bishul Akum? There's a major discussion that the Poskim had. So Tosfos, we'll get to this Tosfos in a different context. Tosfos in Avodah Zarah and Daf Lamed Aleph on the base. Tosfos is talking about Sheikhar Akum. Oh, next week's topic. Wetting your appetite. Maybe I shouldn't. I mean, Sheikhar Shal Akum, I shouldn't wet your appetite for that. Yeah, whatever. Okay, we'll talk about the halacha. We're not going to serve it next week. All right, so the sugya of Sheikhar Shal Akum begins with the Tosfos and Daf Lamed Aleph on the base. So if you noticed in the Makoros over here, I really took out all the pieces. You know, I took a line here and a line there, because you're not going to understand the details of what Tosfos is talking about. We're going to see the Tosfos again in the context of Sheikhar Akum. But just to take out this one point, part of the discussion of Sheikhar Shal Akum or Sheikhar Shal Goyim, we showed and discussed, well, forget about the separate issue of whether Sheikhar Akum should be Aser. There's a Bishul element in here. You have to cook the hops, right? Sheikhar is made of, beer is made out of hops. Some kind of a tavua. There are many types of sheikhar, actually. That's part of the discussion of sheikhar. There was sheikhar tamarim. The popular beer that they had was actually date beer. I don't think we really have date beer anymore. But sheikhar tamarim and sheikhar shel tapuchim and sheikhar shel tavua. There were many, many different types of beer. So we'll discuss that. That's actually a big machlokas, whether the rule of sheikhar shel akum applies to all types of beer or maybe not. So Tosfos over here is discussing not only the different types of beer, but he's talking about the Bishul Akum problem in the Bible. So he says, Tzarek lizor shlo lishto sheikha beveis ha'ovik ha'chavim. Then he quotes the Amoraim, but we'll discuss that detail later. Got to be careful not to drink the sheikha. You know why? Not just because of sheikha shogoyim, but because of Bishul Akum. Mishum bishulei ovdek ha'chavim. Okay, skipping a little bit, right? Kemo silka v'daisa. Te'afa gav lo chazi lokos kishuchai. Even though it's eino nechol, Chai, the sfir leki idach lishna the rab the amar kol shena olah shulchan malachim ein b'mishem bishulei avikachavim. So first of all, if it's ein olah shulchan malachim, I'm sorry. He says ein lesser shel tefuah b'mishem bishulei avikachavim. He says you got to be careful not to drink Sheikha Shalgayim, the Vesa of the Kachavim, for the reasons that we'll talk about next week. But he says, don't ask them Yishim B'Shalagayim. Why? So first of all, it's Eino Olah Shalchem Alachim. Just like Silka V'daisa. According to the second Lashon of the Gemara, it's Eino Olah Shalchem Alachim. It's not subject to B'Shalakim. So too, Sheikha Shal Tfuah. That's the first reason Tosus gives, that B'Shalakim doesn't apply to Sheikha Shal Tfuah, to grain beer. What's more, says Tosfos, it's Nechal Kamo Shul Chai. But the Sheikhar is Nechal Chai. Nechal Chai. It's not Nechal Chai. You got to cook it up in order to make the Sheikhar. No, but the water is Nechal Chai. The Tzvu is bottled to the water, just like you make a Shahakol on Sheikhar. No, we'll say you make a Bar Mina Mizonas on Sheikhar. Even though it's made out of tavua, so he says it's bottled to the mayim vis-a-vis the brachos, and it should be bottled to the mayim vis-a-vis the rule of bishulakim as well. The mayim is the ikar, and because the mayim is the ikar, so therefore, since the mayim is nachal kamo shul chai, the beer is viewed as though it's nachal kamo shul chai. That's why it's not subject to bishulakim. The two reasons that Tosfos gives, both reasons, right? The two reasons are based on the two different versions in the Gemara, that either beer is not subject to bishulakim. Because it's Eina Ola Ashulcha Malachim. Because Malachim drink what? They don't drink beer. What? Does a senator drink beer? Does a president, a queen drink beer? No! At the time of the Gemara, they drank what? Wine! Everyone drank wine. That was the mashka that they drank. They didn't drink beer. Beer was for the plebs. You know? Right. Now we have all the fancy beers. But, at the time of the Gemara, there wasn't Ola Ashulcha Malachim, says Tosfos. So that's why it's not subject to Bishalakim. What's more, it's Nechal Kamo Shul Chai, even though the Tvua, the beer itself, is not Nechal Kamo Shul Chai, but the water is Nechal Kamo Shul Chai. That's a Gemara. The Gemara Daf Lamed Zayin Rabbi says, Mayim alo nishtanu mibriyasan al yidei ha'or. The Mayim are not nishtanu. Right? So anything that's not nishtana is subject to the rule of Bishalakim because you have to be mevashel it, but the Mayim, you don't have to be mevashel. So therefore, since the beer, the tvua, is bottled to the mayim vis-a-vis bracha, it's bottled to the mayim vis-a-vis bishalakim too. It's called nechal kamo shul chai. So based on this Tosfos, the prichadash simin kuf yudalet, zekot dalet, wants to paskin that there's no bishalakim in coffee either. Right? The kavi. The second time. B'lavach yesh lahat ben akavi ben min zeshel. Gikulati, whatever it is, Gikulati, another type of drink. The chiyechi, the bottle apil gavi amayim linim bracha, the lomu vachin alay rola shakol. Hachanami bottle the inyan isur bishul. Moshkosu atosus perik ein ma'amid and gavi shecha shal tfuha. The pichadosh wants to say that coffee shouldn't be subject to bishulakim because the water is the ikar. The water is the ikar. The coffee bean is bottled to the water, and the water is nachak moshul chai. So therefore, the coffee is viewed as Nechal Mashul Chai, not subject to Bishalakim. Earlier, he wanted to give a different reason to be making coffee. He says, Al Pisa, based on something else that we discussed, Mut Lishto Zakavi V'Vesa Akum, Shavu Yishenu Nechal Kamoshul Chai, V'Ola Shulchan Alachim, Yikamakum, Eno Osu, Lelavis Bo Sapas. It's not eaten together, it's not drunk together with bread, it's not Malavis Bo Sapas. Oh, that's the other Inyan that we talked about. It's not so clear this is true. See, it used to be at the time of the Gemara, and sometime after the Gemara, people didn't drink while they were eating. They would eat, then they finished the meal, and then they drink later. They used to think drinking while eating does not make the food go down better. And some of your grandparents probably were still like that. They would like not allow anyone to drink while they were eating. And then now, it's like a little. If someone were to tell you that, you'd like, I have some water. We're so used to drinking as we're eating that we can't even imagine doing that. But that's the way older people used to eat. So I think that's what the Prichadosh means. That it's not Malavik Bosa Paz. You don't drink together with the bread. If you drink with your bread, so why is it any worse than any other liftan? If you're eating it or drinking it together with the bread. I think they used to drink the coffee later. They had coffee after the meal. Can we say that people don't have coffee during the meal? They only have it afterward? Like they serve tea at the end of the meal. That's not the lapis bois apas. You don't drink. You drink soda in the middle of the meal. You drink water in the middle of the meal. The coffee and the tea is afterwards. Could we really say that? I'm not sure. That's the first time that the Prichadosh wants to give. If it's not malavis bois apas, so then it's not subject to the rules of Bishalakim. But leaving that out, his second reason is enough for us. It's nechal kamo shul chai. The water is not Nefek Shulchan, and the coffee bean is bottled to the water, so we treat the coffee as being Nefek Mo Shulchan. So therefore, it should be subject to the Bishul Akum. The Chasam Sofer and Avodah Zarah and Aflam and Aleph and Beis, there's another time. He says the Issa Bishul Akum, of course, can't be Shaykh in coffee. Why? Because where's the coffee? There's no coffee in your cup of coffee. The beans are left in the filter. Like if you brew the coffee, I'm not talking about instant coffee, let's say. But if you brew the coffee, so, you know, your Keurig or whatever, you have the grains, you know, the beans are, what's the lotion? Beans? Call it beans.
The grounds,
thank you. Oh, that's the lotion. The grounds remain in the filter. So what do you see from that? That the only thing that's entering into your water is the tam of the coffee. Tam ba'alma. When it goes around tam ke'ikar by Bishul Akum, says the Shach. So we shouldn't be going around the tam over here either. You have your water. Well, the water is nechak mo shulchan. You don't even need that svara that the coffee is bottled to the water. There is no coffee in your water. There's a tam of coffee in the water, but the coffee itself is not in the water, he says. So therefore, the whole drink is water, and since water is nechak mo shulchan, the rule of Bishul Akum doesn't apply to it. This is what many poskim wanted to suggest. But the Pesach Tshuva quotes someone who's cholik. Right? Pesach Tshuva. This is in the packet because it's in Siman Kuf Yud Aleph. Pesach Tshuva, it's in Kuf Yud Aleph, Tzekot and Aleph. It says, Ayin Behetek Shal Rav Marit Zal. Mashakosu Dmishal Yamekel B'Sheikhar Huadin Demut Lishtos Kavi. To me, Divrei Hafi Chodosh. But he says, I am Shuvas Ovi Adoni Zikeni Ponim Iris. He quotes in the Ponim Iris, Shecholak Olov. The Ponim Iris says, absolutely not. Coffee is a problem. He says, Av B'Sheikha Lahoya Ikratam Yishum Datfua B'Telah. What do you want to tell me? It's Nefek Moshe Chai? No, that wasn't the Ikar reason in Sheikha. Ela Ikratam Oya the Sheikha Shalahem Lahoya Ola Shulchan Malachim. The real reason with that was that it wasn't Ola Shulchan Malachim. That was the Ikatan. He didn't really hold that it was that the Tvur was bottled to the water. He didn't really hold to that. The real time was that it's saying, Allah Shulchan Malachim, and that's why it's not subject to Bishul Akum. Okay, Moshe Kosav Abav, Lo Shayach Bechasis Kulehad, Lo Mizamni Alayim, Leka Kriva Daita Kulehai. Well, like the Bach says, that the Svara is the key. The Svara is the key. Forget about Allah Shulchan Malachim. The key is that we're not Mizamin each other for this. It's not Choshev enough. Abel Bekavi? But the reality is, coffee is Ola Shulchan Malachim. And people do invite a friend. If you invite your friend over to your house, what are you going to serve him? Coffee, you know, tea and cake? Coffee and cake? You are going to serve him coffee. So it is Choshev. It is Choshev, even if it's not Ola Shulchan Malachim. But still, since people invite each other over coffee, they go out for coffee, they invite each other over coffee. So it is Choshev. So the Panim Iris concludes, L'chein roi l'bal nefesh lo lishtos. Not just because it might be a sheikha shogayim ishu. We're going to have to talk about whether that's really true. Maybe coffee is not included in the gzeira of sheikha akum. But leaving that aside, he said it's a bishul akum problem. It's a bishul akum problem. So that's why you can't be mekel by coffee, he says. Even if it wouldn't be beveso shel agoy. Even in Beis Hashem Yisrael, maybe Sheikha Shogayim is only in Beis HaAkum, but if the Akum cooks, even in Beis Hashem Yisrael, if he's not, you know, hired help or something, you can construct a scenario that there will be a problem of Bishul Akum. Could be a problem of Bishul Akum. Very serious. The Chidah writes that the Arizal did not drink coffee that was cooked by a guy. He was choshesh to assume that maybe there is a problem of Bishul Akum in coffee. But the Darkei Tshuva writes that the minhag olam is to be mekel. We make it like the Prichodosh against the Panim Meiris, against the Arizal. He says that the Arizal perhaps was machmer on himself. It was like chumra. The Iker Adin, you could be mekel. The Kula probably is based on this idea that we assume that the Iker of the coffee is really just mayim. The Iker is mayim. And the coffee is bottled to the mayim. Maybe by Tvua, by Sheikher of Tvua, we don't say that it's bottled to the mayim. There, it gives a little different. It has to be steeped in the mayim for an extended period of time. So maybe that's something different. But coffee, what is the coffee? It's just a taste. a tam of the bean that's entering into the water that's really a drink of water, its water is nefek emoshu chai, so we assume that it's not subject to bishul akum. That's lechora, but the kula is based on. Okay, so this is a very important shaila, but I think most poskim are taka maker to assume that coffee is viewed as nefek emoshu chai, and then the rule of bishul akum will not apply to the coffee. Yes?
What's the real reason why the water is thicker? I mean, I'm not a coffee drinker, but I assume that the person's adding the coffee not because of the water, they're adding the water because of the coffee.
Right. They want the tom of the coffee and the water.
Yeah.
But what's the drink? And you say, what are you drinking? You drink coffee? The coffee beans are there. What is coffee? Coffee is coffee-flavored water. So just like you make a shahakol on it, right, because it's coffee-flavored water, so the water is the ikar. So in terms of bishul akum, we should judge it based on the water. Yes?
So how does that sort of fit into the idea that also with beer, the grain is bucked out to the water? Unless I'm not really so familiar with beer, but I guess my understanding was that also in that case, the actual grains are in, at least to a certain extent, are in the water. Is that not?
The grain is in the water, but then they siphon it off. You're not drinking the grain.
So it's also like the flavor is just...
So Tosfos seems to be assuming that in the case of Sheikha Shel Tfua, the grain also is bottled to the water. So those posts can assume that it's not bottled to the water. There is an interesting sheet of the Bach. Bach says he doesn't think that the grain is bottled to the water because we know that when it comes to beer, we treat beer as chametz gomer. It's not tarovis chametz. So the rule is that chametz... Avra Lava Pesach is mutter bahana if it's only a tarobis chametz, but if it's chametz gomer, then it's awesome. And yet we assume that if you didn't sell your beer, you didn't sell your schnapps, you're not allowed to eat that after Pesach. So it sounds like it's chametz gomer. So the Bach says, if you're going Pesach, or going chametz, it's considered chametz gomer, or going bishlachim, it also should be called chametz gomer. So he's not so sure that the tefuah is really bottled to the mind. But Tosu says it's bottled to the mind. Well, Tosfos says, bottled to the mayim. So, lechora, in the case of coffee, also, we should view the coffee as though it's bottled to the mayim. Okay, this concludes the sugya of Necho Kmo Shulchai and Eino Olal Shulchan Malachim. Okay, the final issue that we want to talk about in Bishul Akum relates to what is defined as Bishul. What is Bishul? What does it mean that the Akum is cooking? So, this is a Gemara. A Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Lamed Chesem and Aleph. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Hiniach Yisrael Basu Agabi Gecholim Uvoa Bikacham Vahavar Bo Muta. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, what happens if Yisrael puts meat on the Gecholim, puts meat on the fire, and then the guy comes and turns over the meat? Muta, it's Muta. Hechidami, Ilay Medi Ilo Havar Bei Havar Bo Shil. They were talking about a case where without the Hippuch, it would have cooked anyway, so Pshita, the guy didn't do anything. So why should there be a problem? The Yisrael put the food on the fire. Must be that the guy made it cook. Without it, it wouldn't have cooked. So that my mother, Bishulei Shalom, the Kachavim, the new, it's Bishul Akamamish. Lotzicha di lohava chavavosha v'tati shoy v'ashtaka boshel v'chadosh shaitim. Ma'u di temakuvi Bishula milsehi kamash malon. Now the Gemara, the Chiddush is that it would have cooked anyway. Would have cooked in 2 hours. Right? But because the guy turned it over, so he was makari v'sabishul, made it cook in less time. So I would think that krove bishul, makari bishul was considered bishul. We know when it comes to Ilcha Shabbos, you're not allowed to be makari bishul. And Shabbos kirev bishul is considered significant. So I think in bishul akum too, kamashmul no, we're makel in bishul akum that being makari bishul is not enough to ask. The guy asked the mamish cook. I the ha'amar rev asked the amar rabbi yochanan kol shu kamachal ben drusai emba mishum bishul el dekachavah. Rabbi Yochanan said that anything that's kamachal ben drusai, that's a third or a half cooked, shaila what kamachal ben drusai means, but it means it's cooked enough that it's nechal al yidei hadchak, that the bandit could eat it, right? If it's cooked kamachal ben drusai, then there's no bishalakim. Ha'eno kamachal ben drusai, yesh ba mishum bishule of the kachavim. So what's the Gemara asking? That it sounds like if it's not kamachal ben drusai, and then the goy is makarev, the bishul, he makes it cook, right? Let's say the Yisrael put on the fire. It's not kamach ben drusai, it hasn't cooked the third or a half. And then the goy does something to make it cook more. So he is makarev bishulo. Sounds like there is bishul akum. Is that the Gemara? No. Hasam could go into Osvei Besilta. Bishakle Ovikachavim Vaosvei Vitanura. That's talking about that the Jew cooked it to less than Kamacha Bendir's side. And then he put it aside. He took it off the fire. And then the guy took this item that's not cooked Kamacha Bendir's side and put it on the fire. That's not just Makari Bishulo. That's doing the whole job. He's not just Mahapich the thing. This item is on the side. If it's not cooked Kamacha Bendir's side, it's as if it's raw. So the guy is the one who's doing the full Maisa Bishul. So there, the rule of Bishulakam can apply. If the guy is just Makari Bishulo, it would have cooked in a certain amount of time. But the guy made it cook faster. So that's not subject to the rule of Bishulakam. But if the guy took something that's partially cooked and put it back on the fire, so he's doing Bishul Mamish. So of course that's going to be subject to Bishulakam. Okay. What emerges from the Gemara and Avodah Zarah here on Daf Lamed Ches is that once the item is cooked Kamacha Bendir Yisrael, meaning once the Yisrael cooks the item Kamacha Bendir Yisrael, there's no Bishulakam Bichlam. That's clear. The only way that there's Bishulakam is if the item was not cooked Kamacha Bendir Yisrael and it's put aside, now the guy puts it back on the fire. The Rishonim of a major Machlok is what's the din if the guy cooked it till Kamacha Bendir Yisrael and then the Yisrael finished the Bishul. Most people would not eat an item Kamacha Bendir Yisrael. We want it Mavushal called Sarko. So what happens in the reverse case? Right? Not that the Jew already cooked the Kamacha Bendir Yisrael, now the Goy is going to put it back on the fire. But rather, the Goy cooked the Kamacha Bendir Yisrael. He made it edible. It is Mavushal al-Pidin. In called Sarko, we call that Mavushal. Even though people would normally not be so happy eating it. And now the Yisrael was Gomer Bishulam. Is that subject to the rule of Bishulakam? The Rashboy in Torah Sabayis writes that after the guy cooked it, Kamacha Bendir Yisrael, there's nothing to do. It's already considered mavushal, and there's no way that you can salvage this item. No way to salvage the item. This is quoted in the Tur in Siman Kuf Yud Gimel. Ziftes, very end over there. No way, because it's all a function of Kamacha Bendir Yisrael. Once it's cooked, it's cooked. That's it. This is the Rashba L'shitaso in Kol HaTorah Kula in Hilchas Shabbos, in Hilchas Bishul Basa B'Cholav, in Bishul Akam. The Rashba says, once it's cooked, Kamacha Bendir Yisrael, that's it. Ain Bishul Achar Bishul. It's already Mavushal, so there's nothing to do. So if it's already Mavushal, there's no Isser of Bishul B'Shabbos, but once the guy cooks the Kamacha Bendir Yisrael, there's no way to salvage it either, because it's already Mavushal. But the Torah says, my father the Rosh disagreed. When you hear Ladoni Avi Arash, the Lahokel Echshiva Kamacha Bendir Yisrael Ki Mavushal V'lo L'Hachmir. The Rosh says that the Gemara considers Kamacha Bendir Yisrael like Bishul, regarding Bishul Akam, L'Kula, not L'Chumra. Lakula in the sense that if the Yisrael cooked the Kamacha Bendir Yisrael, so then you're home free. Then it will never be subject to Bishulakam. But not Lechumra. Not Lechumra that it's already Mavushal by the guy. It already is Usser and there's no way to be Matar. No, Lakula they consider it Kamavushal, but not Lechumra. Wow. That's a major Machlokas. Major Machlokas. Machlokas Mechaber Amol Adina had a paskin. Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch. Mechaber in Siman Kuf Yigimel Siftes. Mechaber quotes the Rashba in Bishlo Ovik Al Chavik Amagam and Yisrael Vigam Yisrael Yesh Lesser. There's some cases where maybe you could be Mekel, but generally Yesh Lesser, and the Ramah says, Yesh Matir and Bechol Inin. It says, the Shach in Sivkot and Yudalit, V'chein Askam Asirov HaPoskim Udlok Marashal Be'ezved HaShalom. The Shach says that the Rov HaPoskim Paskim, like the Ramah, like the Rosh, that you can be Mekel. That even if the guy cooked the Kamacha Bendir Yisrael, it's not Mavushal called Sarko, the Yisrael wants to eat it Mavushal called Sarko, he can still save this Michael and make it into Bishul Yisrael. Just like if the Yisrael put it initially on the fire, that would call it Bishul Yisrael. So too, even if it's cooked Kamacha Bendir Yisrael, let's say the guy took it off the fire, the Yisrael can take it off the fire. Take it off the fire, put it back on the fire, and then it'll cook up until it's Mevushal Kamachal, Mevushal Kol Tzarko. Look, the Shach, the Ramah is right, Rav Poskim follow the Ramah and the Rosh, that's not subject to Bishul Akam. That's called the Bishul Yisrael. So of course, the nafkamina is the case that the Rishonim are talking about, that particular case. But another nafkamina lemaisa that the Rishonim, that the poskim talk about, based on this shaila, is frozen foods. Is there a problem of bishul akum in frozen foods? Right, let's say, a non-Jew cooks up frozen foods, French fries. Right? Cooks up French fries, frozen foods. How are frozen foods made? So clearly, if someone is only warming up the food, the guy is only warming up the food, it's not a problem. Right? That's not called bishul. The Pekidah Eger in that Shulchan Aruch is careful to point out, that's a Gemara, but he's careful to point out, b'shem the Drisha, that even when the Mechaber is machmir, a very limited chumrah, right? Pekidah Eger says over there, one second. We're in the first packet of Tur Shulchan Aruch. Kidega says, "Ubeinan gamro mamish, avelo hipuch ba'alma." The Ramah, sorry, he's going on the Ramah, right? The Ramah says that there's a kula, v'yesh matir b'chol inyan, only if gamro mamish, avelo hipuch ba'alma. Hipuch ba'alma, that's nothing. That's not significant. So chimum is also not significant. Just warming something up is not going to do anything. But let's say it's not just warming. You take the frozen food and you put it in the oven, and it's going to get cooked. What do I mean it's going to get cooked? Because the way they make frozen foods is that they cook them only partially. They don't cook them completely, because then it's not going to be fresh. So they cook it partially, and when you put it in the oven, then it cooks fully. So it's Mamishli's case. Cook a machal ben drusoy, but it's not cooked cold sarka. So what would happen if the guy took the French fries or took other frozen foods and put it in the oven and it was gomer bishulah? So according to the Ramah, this is another sniff lahakel. Because if it's cooked kamachal ben drusoy, if it is a little bit edible, I mean, obviously in a frozen state it's not edible, but if you brought it to room temperature, so it's cooked a little bit, it's kamachal ben drusoy, it is edible. So maybe even though the goy cooked it until it's a bushel cold sarko, maybe that's not subject to the rule of bishulakum, because he's only being gomer bishulo, and it's we're not machmer on that. Right? Once it's mavushal, kamacho ben drusoy by the Yisroel. Once it's if there would be a room to be makel for factories, we're going to talk about factories in a moment, right? If the factory is not subject, whatever was done in the factory is not subject to bishul akum, so then what the goy did to finish the bishul is not going to be a problem. Well, maybe we should say it better. Maybe we should say that. Take it back. Even if factories would be a problem, meaning even if the factory is owned by the non-Jew and the person who's actually making it, the person who's running the factory are non-Jewish workers, even if you'll be machmer to assume there is a problem of bishul akum there, as long as the Yisrael is gomer that bishul at home, then that would solve the problem. Because that's like a case where the goy cooked it to machal ben drusoy and then the Yisrael was gomer bishul. Okay, this is one interesting shayla that Boskim talk about. Another shayla that's brought up is, what's the halacha of other types of food preparation besides cooking? You know, cooking is defined as making an item edible through the medium of water and heat, right? Boiling up the water. There's a liquid medium that the item is cooking in that liquid medium. But how about smoking or steaming? Is that called bishul or not called bishul? So the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Yud Gimel, Simin Kuf Yud Gimel, Sif Yud Gimel, Haskins based on Yerushalmi Nidarim, that Ishun, smoking, is not subject to Bishul Akum. It's not called Bishul. Why is that? So really, it's an Ibaya, the law of Shita in the Yerushalmi. It's an Ibaya. Is Ishun considered Bishul for different halachas? It's a suffix. Because it's a suffix, and Bishul Akum is only an Isid Rabban and Sveikid Rabban Lakula. So that's why we're Mekel when it comes to Bishul Akum, that Ishun is not subject to bishul akum. The Darkei Moshe in Tzivkot and Tezayin on that Shulchan Aruch has a whole discussion in Poskim. What's the status of steaming in light of the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch based on the Yerushalmi that smoking is not subject to the rules of bishul akum? So maybe steaming shouldn't be subject to the rule of bishul akum either, because steaming is like smoking.
What's steaming?
Steaming means that you cook up water, you boil up water, and then the steam from the water is what's doing the cooking. It's not cooking inside the water. It's the steam that's actually cooking the item. So the Dakei Moshe wants to say, where is this Dakei Moshe? Oh, it's in the packet, in packet 6, page 10. The extra Maamar Kamos over here. He quotes from the Shem Aryeh. Shem Aryeh was discussing the creation, the cooking of tzikir. Tzikir, probably sugar? Tzikir? I don't know. Something in the Mechonas Akum. And he wants to say, since it's only made through Kitor, maybe that's not considered... The Shem Aryeh quotes Divrei Rav Echa, who wanted to say that maybe Kitor, maybe steam, is no worse than Me'ushan, and it's not subject to Bishul Akum. Because what's the difference between Hevel Ha'esh or Ashan? Mali Hevel Ha'esh Gufa Shuha Ashan, Mali Hevel Hamayim. What's the difference between Hevel Ha'esh? The smoking is like Hevel Ha'esh. It's like the steam from the fire. Steam from water is like steam from the fire. It's the same, similar idea. But the Shem Aryeh disagrees. Shem Aryeh disagreed. And the Darkei Tshuva has a whole back and forth. He wants to say, quote someone else, the Eben Shesia, that... quotes the Shem Aryeh, but he disagrees with him. The poskim of the Dakei Moshe quote seems to assume that Kitor is the same as Ishun, it shouldn't be subject to the rule of Bishul Akum. So the Chelkas Binyamin mentions this discussion in a different context. And that is microwaves. What's the status of a microwave vis-a-vis Bishul Akum? Rabbi Willig, in his article in Oz Gimel, felt that if there's no Bishul Akum in Ishun, in smoking, and there's no Bishul Akum in steaming, like the Darkei Tshuva would say, so he felt that Hu Adin Nami in a microwave, I mean, what's the Bishul? Bishul is occurring through waves that you don't even see, the microwaves. So he felt that this is a big kula, that if you want the Shvachos, you want the living maid to be able to cook for you, if it's a food item that can be cooked in the microwave, it's not best, it's much better. Because you have what to rely on, that maybe the microwave is not considered Bishul Akum at all. Not Bishul. He said to prevent the Yisr Bishul Akum with living maids, it's always better to cook with a microwave. Not everything can be cooked in a microwave. Now, you can warm things up in a microwave, but that's not subject to Bishul Akum anyway. You know, if you start to cook things in a microwave, so very often they become soggy. They're not as softer. They don't cook quite the way we want them to cook. So it doesn't solve all the problems, but it can solve some problems. The question is, does it solve any problems? Rabbi Willig wants to suggest that maybe microwaves are the same as smoking and steaming, but the Chelkas Binyamin in Siman Kuf Yugimus of Kuf Chavav writes that it's not so clear. It's not so clear. At first he wants to say that it should be mutter. He wants to say that it should be mutter. But in the Tziyunim he says that maybe this should be dependent on the old Shaila, famous Shaila about the Dud Shemesh. Now, can you use a Dud Shemesh on Shabbos? That's Bishul Bechama, that cooking in the sun. They quote a Rashi in Shabbos. Rashi in Shabbos on Daf Lametes says that Bishul Bechama is mutter because it's not subject to the Malacha of Bishul. Ain derech Bishul Bekach. Ain derech Bishul Bekach. So the question is, what does that mean? Does it mean Ain derech Bishul Bekach? People normally don't cook this way. They don't cook in the sun. They cook on the fire. What told us ha'or. Right, they cook in boiling water, that's told us ha'or, that's a product of the fire. But they don't cook in the sun. So they don't cook in the sun, so then it should be mutter. Or is the pshat? No, it's more than that. It's not that people don't do it, it's that ein derech bishul bekach, bishul bechama, cooking in the sun, is so totally different. It's a totally different action. The tzuras ha'malacha is so mishuna that intrinsically it can't be called bishul. It's not because the people normally don't do that. So obviously, if you say it's a function of the people, then it's a question of time and place and circumstances. So that's what he quotes in the Tziyunim, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who wanted to say that maybe Me'ikar Adin, it should be mutter to use a Dud Shemesh on Shabbos, because Bishul Bechama, excuse me, it should be osa to use a Dud Shemesh, a As you say, bishul b'cham avishu ba'ofen rogel, lo avishu, I'm sorry, to be mutter to use the dechash because it's so mishuna. Bishul b'cham is bishul mishuna, so it's ain't derech bishul b'kach. Rav Moshe wasn't so convinced. He felt ain't derech bishul b'kach means it's a function of not being normal, but nowadays everyone uses a dechemish in Eretz Yisrael. So if it's a normal way to cook up water, so then that is called derech bishul b'kach. It's a question of what does ain't derech bishul b'kach mean? Is it that it's so mishuna in its etzem hatsura that it's not called bishul at all? Or no, it's that it's just not normal, practically. You know, subjectively, people just don't use it. So the question is, what's the circumstances? So in a similar way, the Chagas Bina wants to say, maybe another nakuna would be microwaves. A microwave is a pretty normal way to cook for people nowadays. But at the same time, it's not like cooking on fire. The tsuras ha-bishul is totally different. Maybe that's not called bishul. So if you follow Rav Shlomo Zalman's approach, that ain't derech bishul b'chama means it's so mishuna. Right? It's not called bishul if it's bishul b'chama. It's the same thing over here. By the microwave, it shouldn't be considered bishul. If you follow the other approach, then maybe since it's dako b'kach, maybe it should be considered bishul, and it should be subject to bishul akum. Yeah, it's a whole back and forth. The maskana is, I think most poskim ataka machmer against Rabbi Willig's psak. Rav Belsky and the Bel Yoshev, Rav Shmuel Vosner, I gave you the tshuva of the Shevet Alevi on this. Rav Shlomo Zalman is also machmir, Rabbi Ginnah quoted. So most poskim ataka machmir to assume that bishul in a microwave is subject to the rule of bishul akum. So how this fits in with all the svaras, I'm not sure, but that's what most poskim are machmir for us. Even though the Chavos Binyamin thought maybe there's room to be mekel, but I think most poskim taka are machmir. Okay, now that we've discussed all the rules of bishul akum, so now we can finally get to the final shaila. That's the 2-minute warning over here. And that is the question of the cans. This is the shaila that all the poskim talk about. Moshe discussed this, and others discussed whether there's a problem with bishul akum in canned foods. Because apparently the way the canned foods are made is that they put the food, whether it's the vegetables or it's the meat or the chicken or whatever, they can have a lot of different things in cans, a lot of canned foods. What they do is they put the food inside the can, and then it passes through on a conveyor belt, and there's steam that comes up, and it cooks whatever in the can. Cooks a little bit what's in the can. That's how it works, apparently. The question is there a problem with bishul akum in the canned foods? You have to be sure that a Jew turns on the machines every morning. You know? What can a person do in order to alleviate the problem of bishul akum in canned foods? So, of course, if we're talking about vegetables and fruits that can be nechal kamoshem chayim, there's no issue of bishul akum bichlal. That's heter number one. If it's nechal kamoshem chayim, there's nothing to talk about. If it's a meichel in the can that's eino ola shulchan malachim, so then there's nothing to talk about either. Some wanted to say, come on, all canned foods are not ola shulchan malachim. No chef for a president or for a queen or a king is going to take vegetables or any kind of food, fruits and vegetables and other foods from the can and use it as part of their dish. Right? So it's saying ola shulchan malachim. Some say, stam, in this tzura, it's not ola shulchan malachim, so there's nothing to talk about. Others wanted to suggest, well, the cooking is through steam. The cooking is through steam. If steam is like ma'ushan, if it's like smoking, so then that should be the reason why it's not subject to bishul akum. That's not so clear. Rabbi Willig points out that it could be that if there's a lot of water inside the can, so the steam cooks the water, then the item is being cooked directly to the water. So it's not just being cooked through the steam. Maybe it's being cooked through the water. Maybe that really is regular bishul. Okay, that's a question, whether that's really cooking through steam. Maybe we should view it as though since even the water is cooked from the steam, so the steam is the motivator. That's where the whole bishul process begins. So maybe we should view this as bishul through steam. And of course, the final kula that the poskim have is maybe in factories, there's no kirav adas shayach. No kirav adas, you have no connection to the people who are working in the factory. So maybe the whole isra bishul akum shouldn't apply. Rav Moshe is that even if you'll say that there's a gzer below plug, that even though there's no kirav adas in this circumstance, but you know, it's still an akum, so chazal b'gozer below plug. But maybe here, since the bishul is occurring through machines. The machines are totally different than the way that bishul occurs in the home. Maybe this is a totally different circumstance. Maybe in this case where it's not shayach to have a kiruv hadas with the machine, that's really how the bishul is occurring. So in our factories, maybe there's no reason for chumra in bishul akum. So either it's necha kamo shulchai, or it's eina ola shulch malachim, or maybe steam is like ishun, it's like smoking, and that's not subject to the gula bishul akum. Or maybe in factories, even if the non-Jews are working in the factories, but in the factory setting there's no kiruv hadas. Or finally, maybe our factories are even better because everything is occurring through machines, and through machines it's not shayach any kind of kiruv hadas bichlal. It's so different than cooking in the home. So maybe the rule of bishul akum would not be shayach to these cans. Most poskim ataka mekel, Dayan Weiss in the Menchas Yitzchak has a big tshuva. He's mekel based on the last two points. That kitor, that steam, this is a tshuva in Chelek Gimel of Menchas Yitzchak Simen Chofvav. He's mekel that the steam has a status of ishon, status of smoking, it's not subject to bishul akum, and the bishul is occurring in the factories. There's no chashash of kiruv hadas, so therefore there's room to be mekel. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos. Hatzlacha Rabbah to those who are leaving us.
I was ready.